The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. What is healing? One definition says to restore one to health or soundness or to cure. But who does the healing? Is it the practitioner, some divine source, or the individual's own body receiving the treatment? Well, that depends upon your belief. Healers can come in many forms. Traditionally, we think of a medical professional as the healer, but that's not the only type. A practitioner may do Reiki, be a medical intuitive, or talk to spirit guides. The person may just help you adjust to a chronic illness that's not going to be alleviated. That's what hospital chaplain Richard Chu does. Lisa Tarvis uses her hands, her mind, and her intuition to help her clients heal from their mental and physical conditions. Both have much to teach us, and today they will. Let's be receptive students. We're going to talk with Richard Chu first. So welcome, Richard.
Well, thank you, Dr. Melanie. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, I'm very glad to have you here because as a chaplain, you get to go places that other people don't get to go and to have privy to conversations that other people are not going to hear about.
That's quite correct.
And the book you've written, tell us the name of it.
The book's name is Living Well with Chronic Illness, A Practical and Spiritual Guide.
Yeah, a guide, not a exactly this is how you do it step by step, but
no, this is not a how-to book. This is a guide to help the patient, achieve better health.
And what inspired you? What led up to you writing this book?
Well, there are two events that in my life that inspired me. One was the death of our first grandchild at age 4 months. And that led me to become an ordained Catholic deacon.
Mm-hmm.
And the second event is the fact that I became my wife's health care giver. I'm her caregiver, and that began 9 years ago and still continues to today.
That's got to be tiring for her and for you.
Well, you know, you find inner sources, resources, and that finding those resources and finding solutions to problems is what I've included in the book to help other patients.
Yes, that I agree with that. If you write about your own experiences, it might help somebody else to not have to go down the same path you have gone down.
Yes, and as a hospital chaplain, I see about 500 or more patients a year. So I've gathered a lot of experiences where I can help a patient, you know, move forward.
And a lot of times what the patient will share with you, you would really like them to share with their families, but often they're not ready or they don't want to.
Right. Quite often there's a gap for various reasons. Some of them are cultural, some are personal, for whatever. And I can be that bridge between going over that gap to help each other understand the other perspective.
When my father was in ICU after having had a stroke, and the hospital administrators wanted to put in a feeding tube. And we didn't want that because we knew my dad would not want that. So the chaplain intervened for us. He was able to be the liaison to explain to the doctors from the spiritual aspect, you know, that dad was ready to die, that he didn't want this done, but he didn't have that written, even though it was in his power of attorney and medical durable power, they said it would be causing him to starve, so they wouldn't let us do it, and they were going to take us to court if we tried to not do it. So the chaplain was extremely helpful. So you do a lot of things.
You know, that's a very important story you just told, because so often, because of training, people have a certain view of how things are going to be done, especially in a hospital, an acute hospital where things are done very fast. They've got lots of things to do, and they say, this is it. And you don't really listen to what the patient wants to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And often the patient in that kind of situation can't tell you, so you've got to rely on those who are your spokespersons, and hopefully they have your best interest at heart.
Yes, and hopefully that they've had their talk prepared. So there are things way before. Mm-hmm. We all need to prepare ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and because of that experience, I updated my power of attorney. I did have the talk with my children and said, you know, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. So yeah. I think it's very important to do that.
That's excellent, because then you provide an excellent example for others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how did all of the things you did prior to being this Catholic deacon prepare you to be this?
Well, in my background is medical. Because I taught in medical school, I taught nurses and doctors, students. I was an EMT on the street for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And also being a caregiver for the last 9 years gives me some very practical experience in caring for patients. And I understand from the medical side, you were trained very carefully to move quickly to understand what the patient's situation is and stabilize the patient. Mm-hmm. But from the perspective of the patient, being a trained deacon, some people don't understand what a Catholic deacon is. A Catholic deacon is ordained like a priest or a bishop, but our mission is to care for all of God's people, regardless of faith or no faith. It's people in need that we respond to. And because of my medical background, it was natural to go toward the chaplaincy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I came into that. So I can see both perspectives, you know, the perspective of the doctor, I see the perspective of the patient, and quite often they don't meet. They're out
right.
of alignment.
Yes.
And my job is to help bridge the gap for either side, the doctor or the patient, or both.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect that you do that quite well.
Oh, thank you very much.
From your background and reading your book. And I actually did read your book. You know, people wonder, do I actually read? Yes, I really do read the books.
That's very good.
Yes. But when you encounter somebody who has a chronic illness, when they first hear, like I did when I was told I had interstitial cystitis, I thought, you know, I'm going to die. And then they told me, no, you might wish you did, but you're going to live with it. So that's different. You know, so how do you help a patient when they first get diagnosed, oh, you have this chronic illness?
Well, you know, that diagnosis releases a flood of emotions and confusion and so on. And I suggest a three-step process, something we used to teach our children when they're going to cross a dangerous intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Stop, look, and listen.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is just stop whatever you're doing. Sit down. Take some deep breaths and empty your mind. Slow down. The look part is to learn everything you can about your illness, because you need to know what's going on. And in order to do that, you also need to learn the medical technology so you can communicate with your healthcare team. That's so important. And then once you know about the illness and the terminology, you can decide where you are along that journey with your illness. It's going to be with you, but it's a journey. You need to know where you are. And the listening part, the third part, is listen to your healthcare team. And what most people don't realize, every one of them is an advisor.
That's right.
It's up to you to decide the course you want to take. And once you decide, then tell them. So it's a participative thing, but the patient is the one who's deciding what the patient wants.
Right. And if the physician or the medical team won't allow the patient to have what they want, then look for a different medical professional.
Absolutely. They're advisors. That's
yes,
an important
yes,
point, you know?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree with that. So define, what is a chronic illness?
Okay, a chronic illness is one that cannot be cured.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often, the symptoms of a chronic illness can be treated, reduce the pain, dizziness and things. But those symptoms, a chronic illness does not go away.
Right. Right. Okay. Unless, you know, there's a miracle that happens and it, you know, people might expect you to pray for them to make it go away, but that doesn't always happen.
I think that prayer is very helpful as part of the spirituality of a person. But
mm-hmm.
you also need to realize that we live in a world and you have responsibilities for your health care, and we
mm-hmm.
need to exercise those to the fullest possible extent.
Yes, and teaching people to pray the Serenity Prayer might be helpful too, to accept the things I cannot change.
Yes, yes.
Change the things I can in the wisdom to know the difference, that, okay, this chronic illness isn't because I've been bad. God's not punishing me, but it's something that I'm going to have to learn to live with.
And I think I'm probably misquoting scripture, but it's something about God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's help ourselves by taking a break, taking a breather, and then we'll come back and talk some more, okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
There are all kinds of issues which can affect our relationships, our families, our workplaces, and communities. Tune into Breakthrough with Michael Pippich for a clearer understanding to what these issues of modern life are and what kind of solutions are being presented and discussed. Michael and his guests will talk about teen suicide, PTSD, alcohol and drug abuse, bipolar disorders, and more. It's deeper understanding of our life and healing. Breakthrough with Michael Pippich is heard every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're talking with hospital chaplain Richard Chu about his work with people who are chronically ill. Let's find out more about how he has helped people and about his book, Living Well with Chronic Illness, A Spiritual and Practical Guide. So, Richard, you say that the purpose of your book is to help the reader achieve a calm mind and a peaceful heart. How can this come about?
Well, it comes about by improving both the mental, the physical, and spiritual health. Now you say, how do you do that? Well,
mm-hmm.
to improve mental health, I regard negative emotions as excessive baggage. And if the patient can learn through reading the book how to get rid of these negative emotions, they can improve their mental health. Specifically, I'm talking about grief,
mm-hmm.
anger, despair, fear, and things like that. And that by controlling and get rid of them, they'll help the mental side. On the health physical side, if you adapt healthy habits, it gives you the strength to fight your illness. And then thirdly, live a spiritual life. Those are the three things I recommend.
Okay, but when people hear you say spiritual, you said on the break that some people get angry because they think you're talking about religion. So you want to explain the difference?
Yeah. The word spirituality, some people associate with religion, and they automatically turn out.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality is a way of thinking and living that uses your positive attitudes and behavior, and it results in achieving a meaningful and purposeful life. Now, spirituality is central to most religions, and each religion will define spirituality its own way. But you can be spiritual independent of religion. However, that gives the individual more responsibility, because the individual then has to define what is spirituality for his or her own self, and then live accordingly. But spirituality can be religious or not religious.
Okay. But it's an individual rather than a practice that has a regimen with it that's a ritual. It's more an individual relationship with a divine source?
Yes, yes. Here the focus is on the individual. Now, the individual can say, okay, I'm in a certain religion, I'm going to follow their practices regarding spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
But a person's not bound by that. If a person prefers to be outside of religion, they can still be spiritual.
Okay. Well, how does being spiritual help somebody who's chronically ill?
You know, given all the wave of negative emotions and things and so many things to do, spirituality does this. It enhances optimism. And optimism helps the patient look forward and not back. And it increases something that people don't realize, a willingness to forgive yourself and others. And when you do that, it removes anger from your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then spirituality does something else. It calms fears. And what is the greatest fear that we all have? The fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
And when we confront that and define ourselves what is meaningful in our lives, it lifts us up and we can see a purpose and gain meaning in our lives.
Okay. That all sounds good. So where could somebody go to learn how to develop their spirituality? Is there something they could read or a website they could go to?
Well, I provide guidelines in the book to get them started.
Okay. All right.
In the book, each chapter has guidelines. Either it has worksheets or guidelines. I assume we all are starting from zero. So
mm-hmm.
each of the topics, I define the topic and to show them how to get moving on that topic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That all sounds good.
Thank you.
I hope that they will do that. And for me, because I have the bladder disease, you know, there are times the pain comes in waves and you can't think about anything else. You can't brain it away. So sometimes you just have to give in to the pain and just say, you know what? I'm going to go lay down. I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to watch a comedy. I'm going to do something to distract it. Meditate, something. So what do you recommend when people are in pain that's not going to go away?
I think all the things you have mentioned are very helpful. You have to find your way of dealing with pain because everyone's an individual. Everyone has a different background. Everyone has different experiences. There are multiple ways, and I think in dealing with pain, the first thing is to calm yourself down and deal with the pain. You confront the pain as opposed to running away from it. In confronting mm-hmm. the pain, then you say, okay, what are the issues? And you begin to develop your own strategy for doing it. The book gets you started so you can develop your own strategy.
Mm-hmm. So when you suggest that people research things, I would like to put out there that they could go to pubmed.gov to look up research peer-reviewed articles about whatever their illness is, to not just go on the internet and do a search because you don't know how.
Yeah, I think you have to be very careful with the internet.
Yeah.
You have to go to reliable sources. I use a professional sources for medical professionals. So when I'm looking for something, but you really want to be sure that you are looking at viable information. Is there a local hospital? They have a library.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good place and go and say, you know, I really want to do some research. And the librarians are very willing to help anybody who wants to research. You need to be sure you have good information. But there are so many support groups out there, real
mm-hmm.
support groups, cancer, whatever it is mm-hmm. that you can go to. If you don't have a computer, go to the library or call them mm-hmm. on the phone. But use, I think you make a very important point, use reliable resources.
Mm-hmm. And I also suggest that when you go to visit your medical practitioner, you take somebody with you that can take notes. If you don't have somebody to go with you, ask if you can, you know, there's apps you can put on your phone to record what they say, because you likely won't remember everything they've said.
That is so true. When I talk with patients, I always say, if you have a caregiver, bring the caregiver. Bring a friend. Mm-hmm. Two mm-hmm. heads are so much better. And write down your questions that you want to ask, and make sure the doctor answers them so that you can write your answers right there.
Yes. And I'll often give my questions to the nurse that checks me into the room. I'll say, these are the things I want the doctor to answer for me, so they know in advance that it's going to take a little bit longer to have the visit with me than it normally would. Because, like you said, we have to remember that we're in charge of our own health and that they work for us.
Yeah, and I think it's important that patients take responsibility for their own health. That's mm-hmm. very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if they don't, then they take on that status of being the victim, and then everything that happens to them, rather than them feeling like they have some control over it.
Right, and that's where in the book, you know, we emphasize everyone is an advisor. You mm-hmm. need to make the decisions, and you need to take control of what is happening to your health care. But there's a very practical reason for taking care of your own health care or being responsible, because there's just not enough doctors. There's mm-hmm. a current shortage of about 15,000 primary care doctors. And when Obamacare comes into play next year, they're expecting 30 million more patients in a healthcare mm-hmm. system that's already overloaded. The individual chronically ill patient needs to take charge, responsibility for his or her own health care.
Mm-hmm. But so many of the healthcare professionals get frustrated with the chronically ill patient because they can't make them better. They can treat the symptoms, but, you know, if they're like with the interstitial cystitis, for many of us, you don't have a urologist that is compassionate, because they know, you know, they can't cure you, and it's frustrating to them, so they don't have a lot of patients sometimes.
Oh, yes. You mentioned something that is so common. And that's where the patient, the caregiver, looking for resources, using the imagination, some quite often come up with what I call interventions. I constantly mm-hmm. do that for my wife. And then I write a memo when we go to the doctor's office saying, this is her current issues. Hear how we're addressing the issues. And that often can get the doctors to say, oh, well, that's what you're doing. Let me suggest this.
Uh-huh.
And, so getting the patient to get involved in their own health care, and especially if there's someone to help them, a health caregiver, a caregiver, or a friend, a family, whatever it is, to be prepared for those doctor office visits is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. So what's the most important single factor that chronically ill individuals should be aware of?
Well, when I meet patients, and I meet a lot of patients, I think the most important thing is when one door is closed, another is always open.
Mm-hmm.
But the patient has to have the courage to see that door and go through it.
Right.
That's the crucial point. Because on the other side of that door are many people willing to help. But that mm-hmm. first step through the door has to be the patient. So the patient has to have courage and a desire to get better.
Yes, and there are times that it's okay for the patient to say, I'm taking a break from treatment. I just don't want to try anything new right now. Yes, I'm going to eventually do it, but I need a break.
Right, and I think that's a decision the patient has actively made, not passively mm-hmm. given, and someone said, oh, don't do it.
Exactly,
anything.
Yeah.
And as long as the patient is actively involved in their own health care, as we point out in our book, then you're always moving forward and looking forward and not back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. So tell them again the name of your book and how they can get it.
The name of the book is Living Well with Chronic Illness, A Spiritual and Practical Guide. They can go to our website. The website, in all in one word, chronicblivingwell.com.
Mm-hmm.
And when the book's released, the book's going to be released on April 2nd. And
okay.
A couple weeks before that, I believe Amazon and Barnes & Noble start taking pre-orders and maybe on our site. But certainly by April 2nd, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, our website, and local bookstores, you can order it through there, either in paperback or in e-book form.
Okay. Well, I'm hopeful that many people will go get your book and start putting what you have in the book into practice. So thank you very much, Richard, for being interviewed today, and I hope you will write a sequel to this and come back and talk about it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Melanie.
All right, you're welcome. Well, let's go to a break now.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you, or is someone you know, struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly. Contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
It's a beautiful day.
Do you look your best? Do you feel your best? While everybody ages, why does it seem to show more in some people than others? It could have to do with what's inside and how it affects you outside. Tune in to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. Their training in medicine and nutrition brings proven results with their patients. And now, they're ready to bring that knowledge to you. We'll answer your questions and explore innovations in technology and medicine to keep you looking and feeling your best. Tune in Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Richard Chu shared with us what he does to help the chronically ill folks. Now Lisa Tarvis, medical intuitive and Reiki practitioner, will share with us how she helps her clients heal from their mental and physical conditions. So welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Dr. Melanie. Thanks so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. I learn a lot from all the people that I have on the show and also from reading all their books. So
I'm amazed that you have time to read all these books.
Sometimes it's the midnight oil that's burning because I've got to get the questions that I want to discuss, as you saw in my correspondence with you, because I really want people to be prepared and I want to educate the listeners.
I think that's great.
So tell them the title of your book.
The title of my book is Just Believe.
Okay.
Simply Just Believe. I've made it very simple for the reason that it's just that simple. Just believe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't second guess it. Just believe.
Exactly. Exactly. Nice and simple.
Mm-hmm. And I read in there about the Kirlin photography that you mentioned, and I've had that actually done, and
Me
it's
too.
Fascinating. You want to tell them, the listeners, what it is and what it does?
Kirlian photography, I can't remember exactly when it came about, but it's been around for a long time. And basically what it does is it's able to take a picture of your aura. So what you're seeing is the energy, your aura, which is basically made up of the energy that is inside and then around your body. And it is able to tell us by looking at it, it shows us the colors of your aura. So we're able to tell, from Kirlian photography what type of, issues you might be having, what's healthy about you, what needs work, you know, where you are and, you know, whether it's actually your physical health or whether it's your spiritual health or emotional health, it's able to see all of those things.
And are you able, do you have the ability to see people's aura without the photography?
Yes. The photography is definitely a great way to confirm it. You know, confirm that what I'm seeing is accurate, but, you know, curling photography is not cheap. It's an expensive tool. And, you know, so it's something that, if you get the opportunity at a, you know, wellness expo or something, it's a great thing to do. It's really, you know, a fun thing and a really interesting, photograph. But, I don't, you know, I'm able to do it without, I'm able to look at someone, and be able to see their aura, read their aura, sense their aura without the use of the photography.
And there's basically seven energy centers called the chakras, spelled C-H-A-K-R-A-S, for those who don't know what that is. And the different centers have different colors affiliated with them.
Right.
So the heart chakra it's either red or green, correct?
It's green, yes. The heart chakra is green. So you start with your root, which is red. You go to your sacral, which is orange, the solar plexus, which is yellow. Your heart is green, throat is blue. Third eye or brow chakra is indigo, and then your crown is violet.
And depending on how bright those colors are, tell you how healthy you are in that area. Is that right?
It's the brightness. I definitely think it's mostly the brightness. It's the, you know, if you see somebody with a lot of, you know, violet, you know that they're very open spiritually, especially if it's a bright violet. Sometimes it's a, you know, it's there, but it can be a muddy, it can be a little muddy or a little cloudy looking. And that's something where, you know, there's some issues that need work in that area.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to do this over the phone with people, or do they have to be in person to be able to see it, to read it?
I'm able, what I do, for distance, I mean, in person is great, obviously, but, I can't see everyone. So what I usually do is I'll have somebody send me a picture of them. And for some reason that allows me, and you know, how this all works baffles me as much as anybody else. So, even though I'm able to do it, I sometimes, you know, don't understand exactly how it works, but I know for me, if they send me a picture of themselves, I'm able to connect with their energy. And then it's not through the picture. I'm not necessarily seeing their aura through the picture. I'm seeing their aura in my mind, but the picture is my connection.
Mm-hmm.
So
I understand.
I'm able to do that. And then, because of the fact that we're working with energy, which doesn't have any kind of time or space boundaries, it's absolutely able. It's something you're able to do over the phone, or you know, even not in a live chat type of situation. I have people that just send me their photos, and then, you know, and ask me to do a healing or a reading on them, and I'm able to do that. You know, they don't even have to know what's happening at the time. It's my connection to them that's making it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's a gift that you've been given to do that. And sometimes it doesn't feel like a gift, does it?
Well, you know, when you get to that part's not so, that part's pretty cool. I like that part. There are other aspects that are, you know, can be not, that doesn't feel so much like a gift. And that's when we get into the empathic stuff and,
and
you know, things like that.
Reading your book helped me to understand that I do have that ability. I, all these years, thought what I picked up on was just obvious to everybody. I didn't know
that
it wasn't something that everybody picks up on. So you helped me to understand, oh, that's why I get so exhausted.
Right. Yeah.
I'm looking around the room in a restaurant going, Oh, I wonder if he knows that.
That's exactly it. And it can be a very difficult thing to live with. I was the same way when I first discovered that it was something that I had. I thought everybody, you know, everybody could sense it. And I'm like, why is this person not draining everybody in this room? Why is it just me that feels, you know, everybody else is all happy and carrying on, and I'm like in a corner, like,
yes,
please leave me alone, you know, that kind of, and I didn't understand. It took me a while to really comprehend what was going on, so.
Yes, and my clients, my psychotherapy clients would get so perplexed with me because they'd come in, they'd sit down, and I'd say, well, your depression's a 7 today on a scale of 1 to 10. They said, I haven't even said hello. How do you know that?
Right.
And I said, oh, I'm sorry. It was just obvious to me. And they go, I've been working really hard to cover that up, to smile. I said, okay, well, outside of this room, that's apparently working. But in this room, it's not. So.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you can't, you know, you can't block, you can't block an empath's ability to see your energy, to feel your energy, to sense your mood, to sense what's going on with you. If there is a way to block them, I've never found anybody that's been able to block me yet. So,
no.
You know, and it's a gift, but I always tell my clients if there's a psychic gift that you can return, this would probably be the number one return gift. You know?
Yes.
It's a difficult thing to learn to live with.
Yeah. But like I sent you in the question to talk about this, you know, we forget to take care of ourselves because we're so busy being empathic to other people.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
How do you balance that? Because after a while, you're just so drained that you have to pull yourself away. But sometimes there's no place to pull yourself away from all the emotions that are around you.
I do a few things. I have gotten to the point where I just don't put myself in situations where I know it's going to be a really stressful environment. For me, like the mall at Christmas time, and I talk about this in my book, the mall at Christmas time, you won't see me near a mall at Christmas time. There's too much energy, too many people rushing around, too many moods, too much going on. Fairs. Very rare that I'll go to a concert or something like that. It's any type of huge group where, you know, there's a lot of different emotions going on. It becomes overwhelming. However, there are also ways to protect yourself by surrounding yourself with light. And, I call it the divine light that I believe comes from God, from the universe. And you surround yourself with it. And I keep it around me all the time. But if I'm going out, say, even just to dinner, or if I'm going to a friend's party or whatever. I will throw an extra layer of protective light around myself. Basically, just I know I'm still going to sense it, but what I'm going to do is I'm trying to block it from affecting me. I'm trying to block it from changing my mood. You know, what I don't want to do is I don't want to allow these emotions to come in, and then all of a sudden, like you're saying, you're drained. You're exhausted. You can't even handle the simplest things, the simplest tasks in your life, because you're allowing all of these different emotions to affect you. And unfortunately, a lot of times it's a negative way, because it's much easier to catch, you know, the people's sad emotions seem to overwhelm you more than the happy emotions do. You know,
it's
just more intense.
Yes, yes. So for me, I have to have every day some absolute quiet. I can't have radio on, TV on. I have to have quiet to replenish and restore. Are you that way too?
Yeah, I am absolutely that way. And I have to, you know, it's really hard to do. I have 3 teenagers, you know, 2 dogs, 3 cats, you know, all this stuff going on, and a husband that's a pilot and gone a lot. So I'm managing a lot of this plus my business on my own. And I find that I kind of like, I will literally, and I mean literally, get under the covers in bed and kind of just like, all right, everybody leave me alone. You know what I mean? Like I just kind of block out everything. And, you know, sometimes it involves a nap. Other times it involves just, you know, like playing some mindless game on the computer or on my phone or, you know what I mean? And other times it requires me to go into a meditation where I'm doing a chakra balance, I'm balancing on myself. I'm doing a relaxation meditation and then following up by cleansing every one of my chakras. And that's something I do regularly, but there are times when I just have to stop in the middle of the day and I've got to go cleanse my chakras. So I'll take the time to do that. And that helps a lot.
Well, the other thing I have to do is sometimes I have to do a sage cleansing of my dwelling after certain people have been here.
Yeah. What I do is I have an office that I in my house that's right by my front door. So people come directly into that office, and my office is protected by crystals. My office is protected by it's staged. I keep it. Only positive energy is allowed into that area. People walk into my office and immediately they're like, oh my gosh, you can mm-hmm. feel the change in the energy.
Let's hold that thought and take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about that energy and the crystals. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Like 30 million other Americans, I have interstitial cystitis, a chronic inflammatory disease that feels like a bladder infection or prostatitis for men. Desert Harvest Concentrated Aloe Vera helps. It appears to give analgesic properties while coating the bladder. It's the only one that has a phase one trial. It's whole processed, whole leaf, and extremely concentrated. Go to desertharvest.com to order or call 1-800-222-3901. Tell them Dr. Melanie sent you. 1-800-222-3901.
Have you figured out what's not working in your life? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out. Tamaran has had both highs and lows in her life. She uses her experiences to teach you some basic techniques on how to live a better life through health, relationships, and more. Her guests also come from the health and wellness industry, and together, Tamaran and her guests will help you get your life on the right path. Let's Figure It Out airs live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Medical intuitive and Reiki practitioner Lisa Targus is teaching us how she helps her clients using her skills. Don't you wish that she could work with you? Well, she can. She'll tell you how at the end of the show. So, Lisa, let's talk about that office and the energy and the crystals and all that you were mentioning before the break.
Absolutely. I like to protect my space. And I do some different things. First of all, I protect my house with violet light that I ask Archangel Michael to surround my house with. It's a nightly ritual for me, something that I do. It's like my way of protecting my children and myself and my husband and, just mm-hmm. my home. From anything bad getting in, whether it's an actual person, breaking in, bad, some kind of just bad luck,
right.
I don't know, something bad happening and, or just some sort of bad energy, in general. So I'll throw light around the house. Inside the house, when you talk about somebody coming into your house that might have negative energy and then your house just kind of has a heavy feeling to it.
Yes.
Or all of a sudden, or you buy a new house and it's a house where it was up for sale because of a divorce. You can go in there and you're like, whoa, you can kind of sense the tension in the house. So there are ways to cleanse it. And I use light a lot. I try to just visualize a powerful cleansing light from the heavens coming in and cleansing the room. I use sage sticks to walk around. You can use a lot of different types of sticks. Sage is the most well-known and easy to come by, but you can take a sage stick, light it, and walk around and just allow the smoke to cleanse the room. While I'm doing that, I'm always praying. I'm always, you know, saying a prayer. I'm asking the universe, asking the angels to come in and remove any kind of negativity out of a room or out of the home, and just to clear it so that, you know, only positive energy and the energy that already that's existing from the people that live there, survives basically. Mm-hmm. My office also, in every corner of my office, I have a clear quartz and an apophyllite crystal, which I have just surrounding my, you know, every single corner in my office. I keep those to, for me, because I do readings, psychic readings, and I have some spirits that come in to me and things like that. I'm trying to keep anything negative out.
Sure.
Because at that point I'm opening a door. I'm crossing, you know, the veil, and I only want good to come through. I don't want any negative. So I use the crystals as well to help that.
Okay. Well, with some of my bipolar clients, they, at the time that they are crossing from one state to the other, they will have that door open, and some of the negative spirits will sometimes come through. Mm-hmm. So I teach them a technique that was taught to me to protect them, to have the spirits leave them alone. And that is, you take a clear glass and you pour filtered water in it. You put a brisket of charcoal in it, and you put it in the room where you feel a temperature that's cooler. And then around the bed, on newspaper, they put table salt, and then they have a crucifix over their bed, and they anoint the head of their bed with blessed oil. And you can, you know, put the sign of the Holy Spirit to bless the oil, and you put that over the doorpost and over the post of the bed. And then you let that water sit there for about 24 hours, and then you take it outdoors and you take it off your property. You don't drain it on your property. You take it someplace, put it in a trash bag, send it to the trash recyclable place, whatever. But you take it off your property. And what people will tell me is the spirits no longer harass them. The temperature in the room is better. The energy is better. They feel better. So they need to understand these spirits are real.
Well, and that's actually really interesting, because when you think about some, you know, mental illness and things like that, and what creates it, what causes it, I mean, that's a whole nother story. But you know, that's a really good point, is that there, where does the mental illness come from? And if it is coming from something outside of them, which, you know, it certainly sounds like a lot of times it is, that's an incredible way to deal with that. Is that something you came up with yourself, or?
No, believe it or not, I was at a church. I was a staff person at a church, and the church was, shall we say, inhabited with evil spirits. And so I consulted with somebody to tell me what to do. And while I was doing that process, the spirits were harassing me because I was doing the cleansing, and the church became unpossessed, and it flourished after that. And I do those kind of cleansings on churches all over.
Wow, that's amazing.
I don't advertise it. And when I do it with a group, and we go in and we don't tell the church that we're coming in to do the cleansing, because then the evil is going to try to thwart it. But what you do is you go through each pew and you make the sign of the cross on each place on the pew and over the doorpost. And what will invariably happen is some people will not ever step back forth into the church again. And I tell the priest or the pastor, do not go invite them back. Let them be gone. And then the church usually will flourish after that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Evil likes to go in places where it can hinder the good.
Absolutely.
So you
Absolutely.
Have to block it by, you know, invoking the Spirit of God to come in and protect it, and the angels as well. And I could tell you, but it'd take a long time to go through some of the experiences I've had doing these cleansings, the things that happen. So.
I bet, you know, and as long as I've been doing this and as much as I've done myself and as much as, you know, I've worked with other people that have had some incredible experiences, there are still things that absolutely drop my jaw. Mm-hmm. I'm just like stunned by some of the power and some of the, incredible experiences that people have.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of experiences with people, you talk about energy vampires.
Right.
Tell the listeners what an energy vampire is and how you protect yourself.
Okay. Energy vampires are basically in all of our lives, unfortunately. They are people who come into our lives. A lot of times it's somebody that we have daily contact with. They, can be a parent or a sibling or a boss or a friend. And it's basically one of those people that when they always find a lot, most of the time it's always negative. They're always finding the negative. There's some kind of interaction between you and them that causes you to totally be drained. Like, your phone rings and you see who it is and you're like, oh God, can I handle this?
Yes.
Can I handle talking to this person right now? You know, and a lot of times you end up sending them the voicemail because you're just like, I'll get back to it. It's almost like you have to build up your strength. That's an energy vampire. It's somebody who's attached to you that is basically sucking the energy out of you. They're taking your positiveness, your happiness, and they're using it for survival. And the reason I think that it's called an energy vampire is because of the fact that it really, you know, it acts like just like a real vampire, if there were real vampires, that would suck blood, they suck your energy. So it's the same sort of, situation.
Okay. Well, before we run out of time, tell people the name of your book again and where they can get it.
Okay. The name of my book is called Just Believe by Lisa Tarvis, and it is available on Barnes & Noble. It's available on Amazon.com. It's available basically anywhere that sells books. It's published by Balboa Press. So it's available through there as well. There are links on my website, which is www.lisatarves.com, lisatarves.com. And you can actually, you know, just click on one of the links and it takes you to one of the, either Balboa Press, Amazon, or Barnes & Noble to buy the book directly.
Okay.
So it's available. It's available everywhere. It's just, you know, people go into the store and they're like, where is it? Well, a lot of times it has to be ordered, you know, so it's easier to buy on the internet, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been most fascinating, Lisa, and I really appreciate it. And I think that it'd be good to have you come back and talk some more in depth about some people you've helped and some ways that our listeners could use the techniques and to maybe become a client of yours as well. So how would they get a hold of you if they want to make an appointment?
Okay. What you can do is either visit my website or you can reach me via email at lisa@lisatarvis.com. So everything's Lisa Tarvis.
Okay. Well, that makes it easy. And Tarvis is T-A-R-V-E-S.
Right. Okay. Lisa@lisatarvis.com or www.lisatarvis.com.
All right. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. Time went too quickly.
Of course. It always does, doesn't it?
All right. But thank you so much for being my guest
today.
Thank
you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. All right, folks. It's time to wrap up today's show. If you want to reach Richard Chu, you go to chroniclivingwell.com. And to reach Lisa, go to lisatarves.com. Next week will be the start of Social Work Month, and I'm going to interview 8 different social workers throughout the month of March who work in a variety of careers. So you want to be sure to listen in. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week,
Goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.